was, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Presence I stand above. He will wipe every tear from my eye. And He'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. My life, praise God, has been changed. Amen. I can say that. Glory. Pray for me. This is it. Let me try this. Sing with me. 229. Forgive me. There are some things I may not do. There are some places that I can't go. Some folks may scorn. All can go on. Leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. And God is real, for I can feel. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. That I momentum. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. His love for me and you is like the Amen. I couldn't do that a year ago. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Try this last song here. Get ready to call up Brother Aaron. Amen. Pray for me. This is been a while.
Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, you're working at this and you're running by that. You're so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're right about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're right about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Comes right down, praise the Lord with all of your might. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I
and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Let's go cross street here. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. I hear got the whistle people singing. Only believe. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Let's change over the service this evening. Brother Aaron comes. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. Amen. No words. Holy words, long preserved for your walk in this world. They resound. God's own heart, oh, let the word of God in words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where every road the word of God will guide us home. Word of God.
Say it again. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Terrence is shaking his head no. Hey, you're important around here too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
working. Hey, yep. Look at there.
We didn't get that last time.
Uh-huh. Dead battery. Well, one of these days we won't have to worry about technology. Praise the Lord. Batteries. One of these days there won't be anything called air conditioners, refrigerant, capacitors, furnaces. Praise the Lord. They'll all be behind us. That's right. That's right. And if you like to be cool, you'll be cool there. And if you like being warm, you'll be warm there.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I'm not going to sing tonight. I know everybody's waiting. Well, I may sing at the end. I may sing, and then I'll let y'all go home, and I'll still sing. You just never know what's going to take place. But good to be in the house of the Lord. And before I forget, and I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. Y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be blessed. And for all of us that are be on the roads, we'll be praying for you, and the Lord watch over you.
Amen.
And y'all have a wonderful time, and eat all you want, and don't worry about the calories.
That's right.
Y'all just eat and enjoy yourself. Have fellowship, and we're looking forward to a wonderful time.
Amen.
Thank God for all of His blessings and all of His provisions and everything
Amen.
He's done for us this year.
Right.
And sometimes you begin to think, it's hard to believe the year's almost over with. Today's the 25th, so we got a month. A month from today will be Christmas. Man, things just flying by. But we know the Lord's got bigger and better
yes.
things for us.
Yes.
We know we got a lot to look forward to.
Amen.
Amen. So we're looking forward to that. And I know we've got some, Brother Chris Long will be coming, and Brother Scott Smith. And looking forward to Brother Scott coming. Really, really wonderful brother. And I've had the opportunity to minister for him a few times, and just really just a precious brother, and we're looking forward to him being here for Watch Not service. And always have a good time at Watch Not service. I've always enjoyed it, and just thank God for all of His blessings. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, and begin at verse 1. Familiar scripture tonight, and titled this, following God's program. And you know, last time we preached on the path of life, and David said, "Thou will show me the path of life." Well, if the Lord's going to show you the path to walk, now you got to follow the path that God lays before you, and just walk the path that He has for us. And so before we read the scripture tonight, let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. All Your blessings on us. And Lord, we just pray that You just come speak to us tonight. Lord, help us. Lord, just say something that be edifying to the body. And Lord, just minister to each one that's here. Lord, those that are not here, whatever the needs are. Lord, we just commit them to You in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that everything is said for Your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hosea 6, verse 1. It says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. And the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And we know this is a prophecy to Israel. And we realize that this prophecy was given unto them, that the Lord, that He says, "Let us return to the Lord." And He said, after 2 days, He will revive us. And the third day, He will raise us up. We know that's a prophecy to them, but it's also a prophecy to us. in the end time, that because we are a spiritual type of Israel, so we understand that the word comes and there's going to be a restoration to us. And then he says, and we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. If we follow what the Lord has for us. And, you know, as we were saying last time, you know, if you know the path that he's going to show you, the path that he wants you to walk, the path of life, the path of eternal life for us to go down, then if we follow that, then if we walk in the path that God has for us, if we just continue on the end of that, then God will bless us and we'll be blessed in everything that we have. And this is, I want to start out with this. This is a quote from the message, God Hath a Provided Way. And Brother Branham here, he's speaking of children, raising children. And, you know, talking about, you know, God provided a way for babies to get what they need and ask for them to cry. You know, he was talking about, you know, we're a modern family and, you know, just ring the bell, Junior. And, well, you know what? Babies ain't going to ring no bell. You know, there's one thing, they're gonna exercise their lungs to full capacity to get what they need, and that's God's provided way for them. And, you know, he was talking about raising children, and he was talking about Joseph, and he was talking about, you know, he said Joseph was really spoilt because, you know, the way everybody had treated him. And he said, but I would rather have him that way, I believe. It'll make him a better man out of him. If God lets him live, than to let him scream and cry and upset his little self. He said a few years ago, some normal modern witch doctor said, let that baby cry, don't pick it up. He said, all things like that, don't let grandma touch it. And you know what they hatched out? You see what it is? A juvenile delinquency. A bunch of neurotics. God made a baby to be loved. That's why he made a mother to love a baby. That's why we are supposed to be this away. God made it that way. And any time that you upset God's program, you must remember you're wrong and will be wrong as long as you're upsetting God's program. Follow God's program. Do it the way God said to do it. And so, you know, whatever God's program is, whatever God has for us to do, then we're to follow that. Because there's only one way that God provided for anything, and that's by the Word. And, you know, many times, you know, we have a way of trying to come up with our own ideas or, you know, whatever the doctors have said, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, you know, the modern day world says. But you know what? If whatever we have need of in this life, whatever God has for us, he's given it to us in the Word of God. It's all right here for whatever we have need of for us in this journey has been given to us in the Word. And so we have everything. And so if we just follow what God has for us, then we'll be successful. And, you know, there's many things that God has for us that he wants us to go, but we've got to follow that path. There's a path that Brother Manuel read my scripture Sunday in Sunday school, and after church, I didn't say nothing to him, but Jeremiah 6:16, you know, he was reading that. He said, thus saith the Lord, he said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And they said, we will not walk therein. But you know, everything that they had need of was right there. When the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel and telling them, this is what God, he said, stand in the ways that you know. And he said, and ask for the old paths. Because to carry you right back to the place that God started you on, to the place that your fathers and your forefathers were, to go right back to that, and it was to you. Because it's the exact same thing that when Peter and the 11 stood up on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was the exact same message that they came out and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But he said, this is that what the prophet had spoken unto them. And he said, to carry you right back, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it's unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
So it's unto everybody. And so it's just like to them, the children of Israel, Jeremiah is calling out to them that God has a place for you, a plan for you, and a path for you to walk in. And they said, we won't do it. Why? Because it didn't fit their plan. They didn't like it. But you know what? It was the perfect way for them because they knew exactly the path that their fathers had walked. They knew exactly the path that their forefathers had walked. They knew every victory they had, but they knew every defeat. They knew every stumbling that they had. They knew every bondage that they had went through. They had seen all of the turmoil and everything that they had been through. And Jeremiah's crying out saying, guess what? You got a path to walk. You've got a victory to overcome. You've got all these blessings of God, but you will not do that. But it was laid out before. So whatever we have, you know, everything that we have need of is given to us in this earthly journey. The word is given to us.
Amen.
And all you got to do is follow it. But you know, many times, you know, we for different reasons, whatever the reasons may be, you know, we have different things that we face from our lifetime. You know, Brother Ram called it the human grab bag. You know, we all suffer from different things. We all carry baggage, and you know, our personalities are different, and all these different things that we carry. And you know, we all battle different things. And you know, some people they don't have to battle depression. Other people know what depression is. And you know, if for some people, you know, it's almost debilitating. And you know, I've told this story before, but everybody knows my birthday is February 12th. I was born on Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And you know, I'm not saying that I'm a lot like that, but there's traits that I have that I see in Abraham Lincoln. And what was, when I was younger, I was reading all these books, because anything that had Abraham Lincoln, I was reading it. I just so that was my hero, that was my idol. And, you know, I just loved everything about him. Brother Ram said, you know, greatest president we had and all that. You know, what a great Christian, godly man we had. Well, you know, I got to reading about things that he had battled in his life and everything like that. And, you know, there are certain things that I saw in his life in the writings and stories. And it's like, you know, it was through that I began to understand my personality. They were things about me that I understood, because I see these things, and they talk about, you know, he went through periods of being melancholy and all these different things, and you know, different things in your personality, you know, the way you being very studious and just different things that he had went through in his life and the way he approached things. And it was like, you know, that meant something to me, because I connect to that. I see that. And you know, sometimes, you know, it's just because of the sign that you're born under and all those type things. But you know, you go through all of those things, and you have to overcome those, and you deal with these things, and everybody deals with different things. But you know, God puts you in a certain place. You know, he brought you into this place. You have all of the characteristics that God wanted you to have. And you know, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, why did God want me to have this? You know, and it's like, I don't see a benefit to that. But you know, somewhere down the line, it will be a benefit to you, because you know, you are made uniquely. You are made in God's image, and everything about you is exactly the way God wanted you to be. You know, you think about, I think it's 10 generations. If you count back all your direct descendants, and y'all can check my math on this, but I think there's like 4,000. If you count back your generations, every generation, I think if you count 10 generations back, it's like 4,000. You got to think, that's over 4,000 people that had to go through famines and fires and wars and everything imaginable for that person. And they had to travel distances and all those things for those people to come together for your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother to meet her husband. And you know, then you start thinking about, you know, way back on the other side of the ocean in England and Ireland and all these things and all the things that they had to go through for them to meet and then have children and all the things that they had to go through. Then they had to travel across the ocean. And then you think of all the journeys that your families had to go through. You think about all of the things that they, you know, and it's like, I always think about my grandfather, you know, being in World War II, and, you know, he was standing there. You know, he landed in, I believe it was France. Richard may remember it more than me. But when he landed in France, there was 50-something men hit that beach, and there's only two of them that survived, him and the man next to him. When he was standing there, and my great-grandmother was praying when he was in combat, and he said, I heard the bullets going all around me. There's nothing between him and the enemy. But he said, I could hear the machine guns, the bullets going to the left and to the right. And him standing there and saying, I don't know about y'all, but he said the angel of the Lord was standing in front of me to see the bullets go to the left and to the right. And all of the things that he had went through, they were in snow, and it might have been France. I'm not exactly sure where they were in Europe, but they all hunched down in a ditch and went to sleep, and the snow fell on them. And when he woke up, he was by himself. He was still covered up. When they woke up, all the rest of the soldiers and left in the middle of the night, they left him in the ditch in the snow. And he got up and started trying to sneak around, and thank God he was able to get back to the Allies to figure out where his unit was. But all the things that he come through, and you look at your family, all of those that came through all of those things to bring you to the place where, and you know, you think one person out of Cater, and you're not the person. But you know, you think that was what God had in his mind in the beginning. He saw you in the beginning. And you are today exactly the picture of God in his mind. And it came all the way through to get to you right today. And if he remembers, if he saw that, and you're here today, then you know what? If he brought you to this place, then how much more? When you think of the astronomical amount of work that it took, then how much more is he going to carry you all the way? Because there was one day that he knew that you were going to receive eternal life, that you were going to receive the Word, and that he brought you the way that he wanted you to look. Whether we like it or not, all our faults and failures are blemishes, but that's the way God wanted us to be. And now we have come to the place that God wants us to be. Then if God has done all that to bring us to this place, then how much more is he going to carry you all the way? That you've got a place to go, you've got a role to do, you've got a part to play in this. God's not complete without you. Now, sometimes we think, well, you know, we're not all that important. Well, you may try to find a piece of paper and try to write down, you know, what's great about me or, you know, whatever. But you know what? You're important to God. You're great to God. Because you know what? If there was just one lost, then he would have went to Calvary just for that one. The plan of salvation would have just been for one. That he would have done that for you and I. Then if he would have done that for you, that he thought of you. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, he done this just for me. When he went down through all that and knew what he would suffer, knew what was going to take place, knew they would spit in his face and pull his beard out, knew that his friends would turn their backs on him. And you know what? He didn't reject them. All the things that he knew that was going to take place, all the stripes that he was going to take on his back for your healing. Would stand there and be put to an open shame for you and I. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he stood for me. When I was nothing, when I was lost and undone and had no hope, he was my hope. He was the one that came to find me. To bring me back into fellowship with him. What a Thanksgiving we got. We can give God thanks for what he's done for us. And you know what? All he has to have is a willing vessel. That's all he needs is somebody to be willing. You don't have to be great, because you know we cannot do the plan of God by ourselves. But he said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know what? He gives you the strength to do it. I don't know about y'all, I might run around for a little bit or jump up and down or something. You know, because when you realize what God's done for you, you can try to talk to the world about it. And the world don't understand it. But that's all right. They call us crazy if they want to, but that's all right. I'm having a good time. You know, I was listening to a man just recently. And you know, when you see the things what God has done for you, and God's called you to do something, you're important in God's plan, and there's a purpose in everything for you. And you know, we think that we're not, well, I'm not as good as somebody else, or I don't. But you know what? Find your place. Whatever your place is, that's what God wants you to be. I want to be the best Aaron Roberts that I can be. Because you know, I can't be anybody else. I'd rather be a poor original than a good imposter, or a good counterfeit, or a good reproduction. Because God don't use reproductions. He wants you to be him made manifest. And so if you understand that who you are and what God wants us to do, you know, we understand what God has called us to do. But I was listening to this man, and he was talking about, his church has what they call coffee. They call it the coffee ministry. On Sunday mornings, they have coffee and donuts and pastries and all this kind of stuff. And he said they were looking for volunteers. Well, he's an evangelist, and he said I'm gone three Sundays a month. And he's like, but you know, he said the Lord kept telling me. He said, you need to do this. You need to do this. And he's like, well, that would only be the one Sunday that I'm home a month. Would be the only Sunday. And he's just like, well, it was really impressive. He said, the Lord, he told his wife, said, hey, we're gonna go work in the coffee and donut ministry. We've done all kinds of other ministries. We're going to do this one. And he's like, you know, he felt kind of funny getting started doing this. But, you know, he started doing it. And you know what? He said he began to be blessed by it. And he said he began to fellowship with these people. And he said God began to minister to people. And God began to touch lives, and, you know, you get to know people and all these things that were taking place through this ministry. And he said, well, you know, people think it was just coffee and donuts, but he said you begin to have real fellowship, and God began to move and was able to minister to people one-on-one. And, you know, I was thinking about Brother Brown, I think it was in the seals, you know, Brother Brown was talking about the people. He said, you know, Brother Neville and all of them would be at the church there, one of the services they were having. And, you know, he was like, if you've never been personally ministered to, he said, just come up to the church. We'll be here. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, it was such a simple thing. But, you know, sometimes that's a one way that somebody can reach out. That you can reach out to somebody and touch their lives. And it's like, it's not very hard. And he said, I got to the point. He said, well, I just enjoyed, that was the favorite part of my day, you know, just going to church. He said, I got up in the morning. He said, listen, I'm going, you know, I enjoyed it so much. He said, because you think you're blessing people. He said, they're blessing me. And he said, I got excited about going to church just to help people and have fellowship. And he said, man, it was so good. And I was talking to Brother Jason Watkins while we were down there the other week, and, you know, talking about having fellowship, you know, and, you know, after church, you know, getting together and having fellowship. And he said, that's such a faith booster. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to have fellowship. And, you know, some people, they come to church, and as soon as the doors are out, you know, they're running to their car, jumping in and heading out the door. It's like, you know what, you're really missing a blessing if you don't get to spend time with your brothers and sisters and have fellowship with one another and gather around and, you know, and have that fellowship. And it's just a wonderful thing. And he said, after a while, the Lord began to deal with him. He's like, well, now it's time for you to finish this. And he's like, well, he's like, I've done it for 3 years. And he's like, I don't want to stop. And the Lord kept telling him, said, well, you got other things to do. You know, and it's like you go through these periods in your life, you know, these seasons of life. And he's like, you know, it's time to finish one and do something else. And he said, it's like, you know, the Lord has to push you into getting something started. And then when you get started, when the Lord wants you to do something else, it's like, you know, you're digging your heels. And it's like, you know, you had that same attitude back here when you started. You remember that same attitude where you didn't want to get started? And then you get started, now it's time to change to do something else, and you want to dig your heels in. It's like, well, now sometimes it's time to change. Because people don't want to change. They get set in their ways. And, you know, it's like, well, I just want to be comfortable this way, you know. But, you know, you go through seasons of growth in your life and times to change and go through these things. And it's like, listen, you know, you think, well, I don't want to go through this or whatever. But, you know, you don't realize how much of a blessing you can be by changing and doing other things because God's called you to do other things. And it's like, well, you know, it's my mentality. You know, I have just these certain thoughts. And it's like, no. Whatever God wants you to do, then be open to that. Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. And sometimes, you know, we go through that, and it's like, well, I'm not the best singer. Well, you know, if you're not the best singer, then you know what? Make a joyful noise and be the most joyful noise in the building. You know what? And if you can't sing, then you know what? At least be encouragement to somebody. You know, always have a smile on your face or whatever. You know, whatever you can do, make sure that you're, because if something's on the inside and it's God, if it's burning, as Brother Wade always says, then let it out. You know, if there's something on the inside, then let it out. You know, sometimes when this man was telling about these, you know, about working and serving, is, you know, these simple acts. We look at it as simple acts, but he said, you know, God does great things in simple acts. And we think of it just as a simple act, but you know what? If we look to see what God's doing, we can see great things taking place. And we miss those things, those great things that take place. And, you know, when we come to church in the mornings, and, you know, I was listening to him, and I was thinking about, you know, when we come to church and everybody's like, well, you know, I got to wait to the church or something. You know, don't miss out on God. I know the devil's going to ride with you on Sunday morning. He rides with me. I don't know about y'all, but he rides with me in the car. And it's not Sarah. So I'm gonna put that out there right now. And it ain't Levi and it ain't Adam. But you know what? The devil likes to ride in the car with you. And sometimes as soon as the alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, the devil's right there. And he'll fight you all the way. But you know what? And everybody's like, well, just we get aggravated about things and upset. But you know what? We also realize God's right there with us too. And he was talking about, you know, if we looked at the things correctly, the devil's trying to hinder you. But you know what? You don't have to come to church. And even though hearing the word preached, you know, you can receive your healing while the word's being preached. But you know what? You can get healed in the car on the way to church in the morning. When the devil's out there trying to stop you on Sunday morning and the Lord's right there with you, if you realize that God's right there and he's trying to talk to you, that's the reason that the devil's trying to hinder you. You wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got such a headache, my knees bothered me, everything like that. You know what? The angel of the Lord's right there to touch you. He's right there to minister to your need. And you don't have to come to church, stand in the church building. You don't have to come up and have hands laid on you or anything like that. You know what? Because he can touch you in the car. But what's the first thing you do? You get in the car, you start going down the road, and then you start thinking on the good things of God. You start thinking, thank God I got up this morning. As Brother Wade was talking about, the list of devils that ride with you, you know, the coffee wasn't good this morning, and you know, this didn't work out, and that didn't work out, and whatever else, you know, I couldn't find my shoes, the boys can't find their shoes, or whatever else is not going on. You know, we ain't got no gas in the car, whatever the devil puts in your way. But you know what? Say, well, you know what? I've seen people that didn't have gas in their car, get in their car and crank the car, and they didn't have a way. But you know what? They got in their car, cranked it, and drove all the way to church with no gas. I've seen people's car break down, and God fixed their car. I've seen supernatural things happen. But you know what? It's like we're just going to go to church. Brother Wade's going to get up here and he's just going to say pretty much what he said.